Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or are just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes or Stitcher. Today I talked to Robert Rutledge, the manager of the Student Transition Office at the University of Guelph Student Life. In case you didn't know, it's nearly back to school time, which means that Guelph is about to get a population boost by the tens of thousands, and helping to usher in this influx of students, both old and new, are the fine people at Student Life. What do they do? How do they do it? And what challenges are they helping students at the U of G face on an annual basis? That's the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. If you think it's not easy being a student in the year 2017, imagine being one of the people whose job it is to acclimate all those thousands of young people to the university experience and offer them insight and assistance on any and all problems they face, be they academic, domestic, or social. That, in a nutshell, is the job of Student Life. More specifically, they have personnel and programs meant to assist students on the basis of information, knowledge to guide students, guidance, help along the way, community, supporting students in being a part of something bigger, and experiences engaging students in opening their world. If you click over to Student Life on the internet, you can see all the various programs they have a hand in, including Orientation Week, Tenant Advice, the Town and Gown Committee, START, the Peer Helper Program, Move Out Madness, and the Multi-Faith Resource Team. Basically, everything a student could ever need as they navigate life at the University of Guelph, but there does seem like there's one item missing on that list that seems particularly relevant given recent events. That is, of course, mental health. Of course, you will have heard about the four students that took their own lives at the U of G last year, an unusually high cluster that left members of the campus community and beyond with a lot of questions about what more could have been done to help those people and maybe avoid a tragedy. Rutledge and I talk about that on this week's Guelph Politicast. Obviously, it takes up a significant portion of the conversation, but we also talk in depth about the reasons that the U of G students should be excited about getting back to school, including some discussion about what's going on behind the scenes at Student Life right now as they get ready for O Week, now less than 20 days away. And we also talk about the challenges these students will face and how Student Life is ready, willing, and able to help any and all undergrads with whatever these problems may be. Now, before I play the interview, I just wanted to add a quick disclaimer that Robert Rutledge is a donor to the Guelph Politico Patreon. I emailed Student Life asking for a representative to discuss this topic with, and it was Rutledge who was available. So there you are. Just in the interest of full disclosure, I thought I would add that. So having said all that needs to be said on that subject, I caught up with Robert Rutledge last week in studio. So, Robert Rutledge, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, welcome. I'm excited to be here.
I don't usually get that response.
I'm a big fan. I've wanted to come on the show for a while.
Well, I'm glad we found a reason.
Exactly.
So, you are with U of G Student Life. So, could you explain what your position is with Student Life and then what Student Life does on the U of G campus? Or vice versa?
Yeah. So, Student Life, you know, we're the connection to your own bold future on campus. We really look at the whole student experience. What are they learning about themselves? What are they learning about their community? How do they complement every part of their experience inside the classroom, out of the classroom, in their homes, with their friends? So we work for students to provide lots of experiential learning opportunities through our community engagement and global citizenship unit. Our Office of Intercultural Affairs is really looking to both help students discover their own identity, to explore identity, to support students from a wide variety of backgrounds, faith, culture, countries of origin, ethnicity, sexual preference, gender. We have our off-campus living, which does everything from, you know, provides place for students to search for apartments to helping with landlord-tenant disputes, Greyhound bus tickets. And then you've got me. I'm the manager of the Student Transition Office. And we really look to help students through their transitions in university. We emphasize the new student experience, so helping students transition from wherever they're coming before they're at the University of Guelph and here. And primarily that's high school students, primarily from Ontario, but we have such a huge diversity of students that enter the university. I find that our fingers are in all kinds of different pies throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. So specifically in terms of, you know, you mentioned that there's a lot of sort of different groups and ethnicities and sexual orientations that you help. How do you help them?
The challenges faced by students from just about any identity coming to campus can be fairly general. You can look at how does any student, regardless of if they're a third-generation student of Asian descent from the GTA, the first time they experience a significant breakup, the first time they bomb a midterm, the first time they experience mental or physical illness, how are they going to bounce back from that? How are they going to push their way through that? That could be true from an international student coming from anywhere in the world who comes here, and their family really expected them to come to university, their friends expected them to come to university, and they get here, and all of a sudden, by month two, when they're just on their own, they lose their sense of purpose. They're not sure why they are here for university. And so that sense of finding purpose is definitely a really common experience. So my office looks to engage students in conversations around that. How do we help a student who can't motivate themselves through the grind of first-year classes where there's a lot of, like, foundational knowledge coming on? How do we help students to create structure for themselves, to develop friendships that are healthy and motivating, and to help define not necessarily the job they want at the end, but are they a helping skills type of person? Are they an inquisitive, curious, how does the world work? Are they a builder? Are they a performer? Like, what type of general interest do they have? Where are they going to find, like, are they interested in community leadership? Where is that passion? And the diversity in our student population is we have to work harder to engage some students than others. That's where a lot of the challenge comes in different backgrounds.
Okay. So the idea that students have a lot of the same problems, but depending on your background, your culture, where you come from, why you're here, is different as individual students.
Yeah, we really don't have, like, a common first-year student that we expect at Guelph. The experiences of the students that come here are incredibly varied. So we look at what are some of the common challenges that we can help with, and then how do we build relationships with those students where they trust us as a partner along the way to help connect them with their community, provide them with information and guidance. How do we get them to where they want to be in terms of learning about themselves in and out of the classroom.
Mm-hmm. So how do people find student life? How do students find student life? Is it more outreach, or are you kind of referred to by other groups on campus?
Student life does such a wide variety of things on campus that we're found just by students waking up in the morning and going to class. Like, we permeate everything. We are everywhere.
Are you saying student life is Big Brother?
I'm saying Big Sister, probably.
All right.
Yeah. We will reach out and grab you. Emails, phone calls, text messages. We're on every social media platform that we can get a hold of. We're making classroom presentations. Our peer helpers are in every unit on campus. We really do everything we can to make it that students have access to the support, encouragement, coaching, kick in the rear end that they need to get the most out of this experience.
Mm-hmm. Because I think, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this service is maybe, student life was around when I was a student here, but I was a student here 15 years ago, but this is a vastly different world than, not just mean the university, the world in general. I mean, when I was a student here, having email was kind of a new thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, this was kind of the turn of the century, but I remember, like, being in class or I was talking to a professor and all saying, like, I'll send it to everyone through email. I was like, email, why don't you just say it out loud right now? And if I was in the same position now, I would probably be like, okay, yeah, because I'd rather deal with my email than deal with people. But having said that, I think one of the things I'm curious about is, what is the student experience like right now in terms of the pressures, in terms of preparedness? And I'll get into some of those specifics later, but I am curious in terms of when people land here, What is we mentioned that there is no such thing as the average student, but in terms of as much as we can sort of averageize everyone, when a student lands here from Toronto or Rockwood or wherever, and what are they expecting and what do they find in your experience?
I'm going to play with your question a little bit.
Please.
So what the way that student life has evolved over the past 15 years at Guelph, who I think really is a leader in this field, it's why I choose to be here, is we're doing really cool things and have the freedom to continue innovating in this in a way that I absolutely love. We offer a few different types of service. We want the students who are struggling to be able to lean, to know that they can lean on us and to develop that sense that they feel cared about. And that's definitely an expectation that I think a lot of students arrive with, whether they can articulate it or not, or whether it's the front of mind. They want to be at a place where they feel the institution cares about me, Alex Jones, success. Like they want that feeling that I kind of had in my undergrad. I went to a much larger undergrad institution, the University of Alberta, and I definitely felt like my student number. I was in classes where I was unknown with professors I couldn't understand, and I didn't have a strong sense of connection with the institution. And here, the students come in expecting to feel that, and we want to be able to use that connection to help them when they start to struggle. Now, similarly, they come in. They want success. Now, where we talk about variance is what does success actually mean? And that becomes very different to any student that enters here. Mm-hmm. But we want to be able to partner with them to help them find that. We want them to be able to learn experiential learning processes to help discover what they're going to be best at, most fulfilled by in their life.
Right.
I think it's fair to say that a lot of students come to university with the expectations of their families, particularly expecting good jobs.
Right.
Right. Like jobs is a big piece. You hear it in many government announcements. You hear it from families when they come here for their pre-arrival tours is jobs. And so what we start to talk about are competencies and skills and awareness and service and engagement. And so we work a lot with that outside the classroom, inside the classroom. How do we create consistent outcomes that students can work for and then talk about to their future employers, whether that be in any field, to talk about what they learned in group projects and to talk about what they learned on a project serve trip inside the community or around Canada, or to talk about what they learned the time they failed that midterm and enrolled in a bounce back program and partnered with an upper year student to figure out what wasn't working for them, like overcoming obstacles. We want them to be able to use those experiences to talk about how that makes them a better employee in the future.
Right. That's kind of the big piece of that is I was reading an article written by, I think it was a UBC professor, but he was talking about the five things students come in with that, you know, maybe sets them on a wrong course in terms of their expectations. One of them, he called it economic imperative, which is you're coming to university so you can graduate and get a job.
Yep.
And I think that's sort of been pushed more and more versus I think the more traditional view of university is you're coming here to learn, and you know, learning about art history isn't going to translate into, you know, making little machines that build bigger machines on the assembly line at Linamar. But we discount the value in that knowledge, and I wonder if maybe people who are interested in art history or interested in learning about mythology or interested in learning Latin are feeling maybe even before they graduate and are trying to engage the job market, if they're not feeling already useless.
I think they might. The students that choose that are probably feeling almost the inverse of that. Like they've chosen that in a context where they know that perception exists, and they've committed to it anyways. What I worry about are the students who that would be a great fit for. They love art history, but they felt channeled into engineering. And so they don't discover that for a year or two and then end up discovering it and exploring it, which is great. And I wish we could talk more. Like when I get the opportunity to talk to high school teachers, when I get the opportunity to talk to students before they arrive, I very much talk about university is about learning. University is about developing yourself as a whole person in an environment with some of the smartest people in the world helping you along the path of discovery. But also it's about developing ways of thinking.
Right.
The skills that you learn in an arts degree make you, I mean, look at I mean, as you know, I'm a giant political nerd. I wish we had more political leaders in North America that had mythology, art history degrees, that had this greater sense of culture and the world and our history, and they had the ability to connect abstract thoughts in a way that we currently don't see in a lot of our community leadership, the creativity that it inspires.
And there's also those that feel they have to stick with engineering because they know that's going to be where a job is, versus doing something they're perhaps more passionate about and could lead to different opportunities that you may have to slog through, you know, a couple of years of underemployment. But you know, there's a question, I think, for students. You want to make a living, or do you want to make a lot of money doing something you hate, or do you want to make a living doing something you're passionate about?
Yeah, and it's really great to see the continued emergence and mainstream acceptance of things like positive psychology.
Right.
Work being done at Harvard and UPenn, here Ryerson, on how a life can be measured in terms of flourishing and fulfillment and happiness versus chasing money. But definitely one of the main things, so talking about financial imperative when a student arrives is certainly an expectation that we have to manage. But as are talking about expectations, mm-hmm. We from the moment a student is accepted through the end of their first year, they're in touch with our office. And expectations is something that we're talking about on essentially a weekly basis.
Right.
So talking to the families about as much as to being culturally sensitive to my experiences, my family was very supportive of me exploring whatever I wanted to with my university degree. Great. But there are thousands of students here whose whole world expects them to become a doctor, expects them to become an engineer.
Right.
And if they hit a moment here where they question it, or they hate it, or they're failing at it, that is a really challenging moment for them that we work from the beginning to help them reset their expectation around, while you're here, you need to find something that will motivate you. You need to have extrinsic motivation from your family is hugely important, your friends, your community, your culture, but you need to have some spark inside you as well that's interested in the area that you're doing, or because when you hit those tough moments, that is the thing that will propel you through them.
You deal with a lot of people like that where they're trying to navigate where people think they should be and where they want to be?
Yeah, absolutely.
Too many?
I don't know about too many. I don't want to critique them for the challenges that they're going through. The myriad ways that people struggle when they get here is a really rewarding part of my job to continue to play with the different challenges that students are experiencing. And particularly as we become a more and more increasingly diverse school with people from increasingly different backgrounds, I love the way that presents different ways about learning about yourself and different ways about learning about your community and expectations and reasons for being at university and what you can get out of it, what you can do with it when you're done. That's that excites me. That's fun.
I am thinking, we're talking about the pressures, I'm also thinking about what happened last year with the students who took their lives. And I realize this isn't entirely on the portfolio for student life. There is a community aspect to it. But in terms of your own thoughts, in terms of what happened last year and how that can be avoided again, because that does seem like, maybe not to put the blame on you, but it does seem like someplace student life can step in and make, you know, you talk a lot about the cultural diversity and the, you know, the religious diversity and the sexual orientation diversity. It seems like just looking at the list of services on the student life website and saying what's missing, it almost feels like mental health was missing. And again, I realize it's not, there is a separate department that deals specifically with the student health, but I wonder if that's a factor in what you're thinking about this year, this coming year.
Absolutely. You have to start with, last year was heartbreaking for the tragedies with each of the students who took their own lives, as well as the students who passed away through accidents.
Yeah.
There were a number of students connected to my programs and teams. And so through my own direct experience with it, I can't imagine the loss that those families feel and those friends feel, and the impact it had on our community was felt really on a daily basis. And that includes the team that I work with in student life. The campus response has been nonstop conversation and planning about what we can do differently, what we can do better, what our strengths are, where our weaknesses are, in terms of supporting students with either a mental health issue, a physical health issue, moments of crisis. Student life's role is going to continue to evolve. I can speak to recent projects I personally have been working on around how do we increase resiliency. So it's a really common buzzword that you hear more and more. It's been around for years and years, and every year it becomes a little bit more popular. So it's how do we help a student who, to when they have that moment of crisis, to even avoid it in the first place.
Right.
So that's part of what we do. How do we normalize failure? Failure is a huge part of success at university. Mm-hmm. And there's thousands of examples of spectacular failures in
that's
the
such a fascinating term, normalize failure, because we kind of demonize failure.
Yeah.
And it's sort of coming around to this idea, and I love that term, normalizing failure, because I think that gets to the root of things. You come here. And then it gets to one of the other points from the McLean's article was, inverted expectations. Preoccupation. You come here, you have succeeded in high school, you expect to continue to succeed, even though it's a wildly different world with wildly different demands and circumstances and different pressures and different learning styles that you don't encounter at lower levels of education, so to speak.
Yeah, so we tell students, once again, from the moment they're accepted, this is one of the first messages we try to get out, is if you're accepted at Guelph, you have the raw tools to be successful here.
Mm.
You've got the intellectual capacity to make success at Guelph as defined by you, whatever your success is going to mean. However, they're the raw tools. You're going to need to reach out for help. And so that's a big thing, coming back to student life's role, is we have a ton of resources on campus, whether we're talking about mental health or well-being or learning skills or physical health. Like our resources are tremendous. Our professionals are incredibly dedicated and personally really invested in seeing students succeed. It's that gap between the students who are generally aware of the resources and then accessing them beyond the ones that are oversubscribed. Like our counseling services, I know they're hiring more counselors for this year. We're really excited about that. But how do we get them even earlier? How do we get the student to connect with, to increase their physical activity and connect with our athletics department earlier? How do we get students to connect with our wellness services,
right.
our volunteer teams? I mean, such a big piece that we haven't talked about yet is the relationship building. How do we get students who were the 95% student in high school that came here, like you said, expecting, I'm going to come in, I'm going to get 95s in all my egg courses, I'm going to be awesome, I'm going to reinvent the potato.
Yeah.
And then they get here and they're getting 80s,
right,
or maybe some 75s. Maybe they get a 65 in a course that really wasn't a good fit for them. By any metric that I would give to that student, I'm saying you're killing it. Like you're doing phenomenally well.
Yeah.
But for them and I use the term cohort. I steal it from a Malcolm Gladwell book, Outliers. David and Goliath, in the last couple of years, where he talks about that student in their cohort of friends, they're probably getting the lowest mark.
Mm-hmm.
But if you compared them to a cohort of students studying agriculture somewhere else, they're probably at the top of that class. So in that class, they're feeling like a wild success. They're feeling like, yeah, I'm going to reinvent the potatoes. Amazing. Potatoes in space. Here, they feel a little bit like, oh, maybe this isn't for me. Like, I don't know. Like this doesn't feel like it's working out. So we really need to talk to, we do a lot of our conversations are how do we get that student face to face? How do we get them to one of our peer helpers, our facilitators? How do we get them into our program so that they're hearing from us or from another student about reevaluating and reshaping the way that they think about what success looks like on mm-hmm. campus.
And, or worse still, they could be, sort of a lone wolf type and or don't have that group. And when they get the C or the D, and they automatically think they're a failure because they don't have anything to compare it to.
Isolation is hugely our enemy here.
Yeah.
Across the board, when I meet with the director of counseling services, when I meet with the manager of student accessibility services, when I talk to the other managers in student life, when I talk to my colleagues in residence life, isolation is far and away are one of the number one things we have to deal with right away. But what's great about coming to campus, and I think this is very true of Guelph, and it's great that it's reinforced by student development theory, is we don't need students to feel like they belong to the campus as a whole. We want them to feel a sense of belonging with the university. We want the university to care about them. We want them to feel satisfied with their group of friends. And for some students, that means they need to have like 40 people that they love. And when they walk into the cafeteria in Maritime or in Mountain, it's like cheers. Like everyone knows their name. But for some students, it's the three people they play League of Legends with online that they then see when they go to the video games club, when they go to the Flash Club later on that night. And they're, it's great. In the hallway down from where CFRU is, there's a ton of students who in high school may have been the student who only had one or two friends and didn't feel like they fit. And when they came here, we just encourage the story that there is a connection for everybody, whether it's a club or a volunteer project or a hobby or an interest. You can find other people who share that with you here and connect with them. And that is a huge part of absolutely helping people to develop connections that will support them through university.
And the trick is, and again, not to be a downer, but the trick is I think getting that message out, because I had someone who's training to be a psychotherapist in a couple of months ago, and we were talking about, you know, when people are in trouble, how the people around them don't see, even, you know, they're really good friends, they don't see this, they talk to them every day, classmates, professors, so, you know, you've talked a lot about, and maybe this is part of the reason why we're doing this podcast, but you've talked a lot about, we're here to support you. We're here to help. We have all these great services. You don't have to go through this alone. How does that translate into from coming onto a podcast or putting it in the survival guide or, you know, putting it in the orientation package and to, but to get people to really listen, that seems to be lost in translation.
So there's two different issues there. One is we have a problem in Canadian, Ontario, Guelph, North American society of still that stigma of reaching out for help. We still have a stigma around mental illness as well, but I think we see an even larger barrier for I'm a person who's suffering. I kind of recognize it. My friends don't see it at all. My families don't see it. I've heard about the Wellness Center. I've heard about counseling services. I keep getting phone calls from these people about Start on Track or whatever. But I'm not interested. And persuading that person to take that one step forward, like to try one of our resources once, is tough. And it is a challenge that we take on all the time, and we're continually, that's what our conferences are about, that's what our professional associations are for, it's continually looking for how do we find the right message. And we don't wait for students. We use passive materials, this podcast, posters, social media, but what differentiates us is we're aggressive in reaching out to students. Like my team, when I bring a new professional staff member onto my team, they usually go through a period of shaking their head at me because they're like, okay, well, we want to make a handout for this promotional thing that we're going to do. And I'm like, no, no handouts. and they're like, okay, what about a poster? And I'm like, no, we don't do posters either. Because we need to engage the student in a conversation. So if I have my team of students out promoting, say, Start on Track, one of my like really important first-year student support programs, and they're by Brandon Plaza, I don't want them to hand a piece of paper to a student who's just going to grab it and walk past. Right. Like, I need them to actually get a moment of conversation with the student. So we train them how to do that, like how to do that moment of conversation. Now, I personally really enjoy that because I, from my political background, I'm the guy who's against yard signs. I'm the guy who came from this community building approach to politics of how do you get people who are normally not interested involved. And I love applying some of that stuff on campus and vice versa. It's a really interesting continually working at it, always feeling like you're not quite there kind of game, because students do just want to walk right past, or they're just sitting in their res room, or they're just sitting at home, or they're a commuter student who decided to just not get the bus today. And continually looking for the way to just reach out and grab them with the right message at the right time is something we're continually working for.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's tough, and I know these are tough questions, and I know you've been thinking about them a lot, and there's kind of no right answer. So let's switch it up into something a bit more, I don't want to say positive, but a bit more maybe the change of tone, let's say. If there's like maybe a first year student who is listening and is maybe looking for advice, they're coming here in a couple of weeks and they're packing their boxes and choosing, you know, what computer they're going to need for the school year. And maybe we don't have to get that specific, but in terms of your best advice for students coming in, what would that be? How would do they mentally and physically prepare themselves to land here on Labor Day weekend?
As much as you can possibly bring yourself to do it, dear student who is listening right now, go to a few things in orientation week. There are about 500 different events that we run in our orientation week. There are events from five people learning how to juggle just outside of Rozanski Hall to our all-student 5,000 event in the football stadium pep rally. We play to almost every student club on campus. We'll run an event in orientation week. All the staff on campus who are involved in student affairs will connect with orientation week to run something. So we work really hard to find something, to provide something that you might be interested in. Your role in this, dear student, take a moment to look at the Orientation Week mobile app. It's going to be ready by about August 15th, or to go to the Orientation Week website and search for the event that feels right to you. Not all of our events are big. A lot of people have this idea about Orientation Week that it's going to be loud and shouty and big party. And we have some of that. We have loud partying events for people who want that. Like orientation, it is about building the sense of fun and connection with the university too. That's very important. But we have way more events that are small, quiet, very interest-based, because what we want you to do is meet your first few friends at university. They might be your closest friends for the rest of your life. Maybe they're just going to be your friends for that week. But we want you to make sure that right out of the gate that you're meeting people that you're going to go through this 4 years with. Because it's not just the next 4 years. You're going to be a Griffin for the rest of your life. Whether you finish your degree or not, you're going to wear Guelph Griffin for the rest of your life. You will have attended the University of Guelph. Mm-hmm. So we want you to have people that you can share that experience with.
And you may leave your mark in a Scottish bathroom somewhere, which I've seen and overheard at Guelph. how are you guys preparing at Student Life right now? I'm probably a busy time.
Yeah, we have somewhere between 1,000 and 1,100 volunteers that are going to show up in a few weeks that we're finalizing the details of training for. We have our Start Online website with kind of the last bits of pre-arrival expectation setting and information and coming to campus that we're wrapping up. Our Project Serve team and community engagement group, they're getting ready to recruit the next batch of students to be peer helpers, to get involved in Neighborhood Nexus, to volunteer in the community and then learn a little bit about Guelph. Welcoming our international students in a couple weeks, our Aboriginal students with our Start International and Start Aboriginal. It's kind of like right now is that last moment. We've been in the eye of the hurricane. It's been a little bit calm for like a week. It's just passing us, and it's about to get pretty intense up in the third floor of the University Center.
Well, I'll just sign off by saying Guelph does have a history of reinventing the potato, so don't discount it.
I'm not.
Well, Robert Rutledge, I'll let you get back to the third floor and with your busy planning, but thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Adam. Really appreciate a chance.
And once again, that was Robert Rutledge. If you would like to learn more about Student Life, you can visit their website at studentlife.uofguelph.ca. A reminder to you non-students of Guelph that move-in day is Saturday, September 2nd this year. So Gordon Street will be closed between College and Stone and will be inaccessible as about 10,000 new first years are moved into their dorms. You've been warned, so just be aware a couple of Saturdays from now that the main way south through town will be inaccessible. And that's it for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host of the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we'll have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.